the feeling of feeling hopeless, like, okay, I will never be able to heal again, or questions like this. I focused on this for so long, on this negative side, because that was all I just saw in my first year. Then I realized I just don't want to feel like this all the time. And I was just like waiting for something that would heal me and that brings me back to the old me. But after feeling like this for years, you realize, okay, something needs to change, because you don't want to put your life on pause and you don't want to wait all the time before you can start living your life again.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope. With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Hey everyone, welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. So glad you decided to tune in today, wherever you are listening from, whatever your story is that brought you here, just know that you are not alone, and I'm so glad you're here. If you're a brain injury survivor, if you are a friend, family member, if you are a practitioner, whatever brings you to this podcast, I just am really thankful that we can share this information and awareness and connection and community to know that there is always hope, no matter where you're at. This podcast is an extension of the Hope After Head Injury online community. And last week we had our two Zoom meetings we do once a month. And we had the Hope After Head Injury support group, which is on a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We met just last week and it was wonderful. It was so encouraging. We had a couple new people. We were able to talk and just remind each other we're not alone, share resources. And I just really, really loved our time together. And so if you want to come to the next Zoom meeting, it will be on November 16th. Let me just double check that that is right. Yes, November 16th, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can sign up at hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. We also had the Brain Injury Bible Study Zoom meeting last Saturday, and that was a beautiful time together. We talked about what it means to know that you are loved and to know that you are known by God, and how that affects our brain injury symptoms, and how our brain injury symptoms cause us to struggle with our identity, and that can cause us to feel really bad about ourselves. And we talked about, you know, how God's love can reach into those depths and cover that. So if you're interested in being part of either of those Zoom groups, you can sign up at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Our next Brain Injury Bible Study meeting will be November 19th. And so for now, we're doing once a month meetings. That might change. We might meet a little more frequently in 2023, but you can sign up for the email list to stay connected. Now, besides those amazing things last week, I also have a little story I want to tell you before we get into the interview today. Last week's episode was on dysautonomia with Sonia Vovan. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode and you want to learn more about some of the symptoms after brain injury and that lightheaded feeling or what dysautonomia is, definitely go back and listen. It's a condition of a dysfunction of your autonomic nervous system that's super common after brain injuries and super overlooked because only in recent years has there actually been more research and treatment available for dysautonomia after brain injury. I personally had it for many years and I lived with the symptoms for like 10 years before I finally got a diagnosis. And I finally was like, oh my goodness, I don't have to be lightheaded all the time. And I've been able to do some rehab that's helped. It's been up and down. And I share more about my experience last week, but I wanted to give you a little story of something that happened in my life this week. So I went on a retreat with a program called Worship Circle. I am a singer-songwriter. For those of you who might be new, the song you just heard, the theme song for the podcast, that's my song that I wrote, Hope Survives, and I'm also a worship leader. And so I'm part of this organization called Worship Circle, and they do a retreat once a year in the mountains of Georgia, and it's called Rest Retreat, and it's just a beautiful time to come together and learn and have some worship sessions and have some time of teaching and connection with others and to just rest together, soul rest, you know. So we pull into the camp. I carpooled with a couple people from the group and we pull in and they assign our cabins and I go over and we drive up to the cabin and I look up and there is this huge staircase in front of the cabin. It's like three different sections of stairs up this massive hill. And I'm just looking at it and I'm like, that is the cabin that I'm assigned. And I looked at the stairs and like initially I was like really apprehensive because one of the things with dysautonomia is exercise intolerance. I've really, really struggled with stairs. Every time I go up the stairs, I would feel like I just run a marathon. You know, my heart would be racing, my blood pressure would be dropped. I get like heart rate spikes and lightheadedness and feel like I'm about to pass out. And that has been a big part of my journey. We also did an episode on exercise intolerance back at the beginning of this year where I share more about that. So if you've listened to all the podcast episodes, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go back and take a listen to that one. But I've been really working on rehab this year. I've been really working on what they call symptom-limited activity. And I forget the proper name for it, but it's like under symptom threshold, maybe exercise. Basically, low-intensity exercise for like 15, 20 minutes underneath your symptom threshold. And so when you start to feel symptomatic, you stop. And I used to think I kind of had to push through because exercise was good for me, right? And now I've learned as a brain injury survivor, and especially someone that has dysautonomia, it is not the best thing to push through. And so I, what's the word? So I don't remember the word I was trying to think of, but I have been exercising and doing low level exercise and walking and elliptical and, you know, trying to rehab my autonomic system. And I've gotten some other treatments. And if you've listened to previous episodes, you know, I found out there were some things going on with my hormones that went overlooked for a long time in my recovery. And so I've been on supplements. And so I feel like I'm on a good treatment plan with my injuries at this time. And so anyway, we pull into the camp. I see the stairs and my first thought is like fear kind of because 6 months ago, I would not have been able to do that. But I said, I don't know, just try it. I haven't tried to go upstairs since I've been doing all this. And so the first time, like we pull up and thankfully they had somebody, a guy there to carry our suitcases. So I didn't have to carry my suitcase up the stairs. So that was very kind. They were helping out the ladies, you know. And so I go and I start walking up the stairs and I get about halfway and, you know, I'm like, I feel all right. And then I get all the way to the top and I'm a little tired, you know, like you would be after going up like three massive flights of stairs. But I get to the top and I look at my heart rate monitor on my fitness watch. My heart rate didn't spike. Like normally it might spike up to like 130 beats a minute. Like that's like a super normal occurrence for me with the dysautonomia. And I get up there and I'm not lightheaded and my heart rate didn't spike. I just feel a little tired. And I just stood there and I was like, is this how everybody else feels? Is this how the other part of the world feels? Like, do they just feel a little tired and not crazy exhausted? And so I would just, I just didn't know what to do. I stood there and I just said a little prayer. I was like, thank you, Lord. Like, this is very new for me. It's very new for me to be able to just walk upstairs and not worry. And also my vestibular system has been a big problem. So my balance has been a big issue as well. And that has been another treatment that I've been working towards and doing. And so my vestibular system is a lot better than it was. And my vision is a lot better than it was. And I just was up there and I was like, wow, I just walked upstairs and I'm not having a symptom flare up. This is like crazy. I don't know how to live like this. I don't know what it's like to feel okay right now. But I was so thankful that they assigned me to that cabin because it's random. Like there's a bunch of different cabins and that just happened to be the one that my group was assigned to. And I was so thankful in that moment that they assigned me to that cabin and I was able to experience this because I wouldn't have tried that if I didn't have to. I would have just looked at the stairs and thought, there's no way I can go up these stairs. But because I had to and because they assigned it, I thought, might as well try. And I could do it. And so I hope that encourages you guys that, you know, if you feel like you've been struggling and you're not sure, you know, if you can do something, might as well try. And you might not always get to the top of the stairs, but it's a victory even if you get up the first section. You know, it's a victory no matter what because you tried. And we only learn and grow when we try. So I hope that's encouraging to you today. I know I don't normally do too long of an introduction whenever we have guests, but I thought that this story, it just happened like a couple of days ago, and I thought it would be really a great way to introduce our guest, Sylvie. So Sylvie is the founder of the Concussion Community, and she is here to share some of her story of her own concussion and how she learned how to rebuild her life and encouragement for us on rebuilding your life after concussion. So if there's one thing I want you to get from this episode is hope. There's always hope. And no matter how far you are out from your journey, there is hope for improvement. There is hope for healing, and you're not alone. So thanks for being here. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. Today, I am so excited to welcome Sylvie from the Concussion Community to Hope Survives podcast. Welcome, Sylvie. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk with you. And we've kind of interacted on Instagram for a little while. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, this is our first time talking like virtual face to face. So it's really great to meet you.
Yeah, same. Nice to meet you. I love talking on this right now.
That's good. So can you share a little bit of who you are and where you're from for our listeners?
Yes, of course. So my name is Sylvie. I live in the Netherlands and I just moved from Amsterdam to a more rural place where I live right now. I am 31 years old and I created this community for other people who sustain a concussion, because I sustained one in 2017. And I sustained it by a scooter accident. So I was driving home on my scooter. I just took the train and I jumped on my scooter. And then I bumped into another scooter. And then I fell on the floor, but I never hit my head. So I was a bit confused in the beginning and didn't know I sustained a concussion. I just felt like, okay, everything is wrong. I don't know what it is, but I'm not feeling well. So it was a journey of confusion, frustration, not knowing what to do to move forward, visiting many doctors who didn't know what to do most of the time. And just figuring out a lot of things just on my own. And I think most of those listeners can relate to this. So that's basically my story of the last 5 years, concussion recovery. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. So I'm so excited to dive deeper into that because I think, you know, we hear you had to figure out a lot of things on your own. And isn't that so many of our story? Because it is invisible. So let's just go to the beginning. So when you got your accident, you didn't actually hit your head. And we know now that you don't have to hit your head to sustain a concussion. Yes. You can, the force, if it bounces
it
your brain.
Whiplash, yeah. So I didn't know about it now.
Yeah. And so what was the process like for you realizing that you were, you know, having symptoms? Did you connect it to the fall initially, or did you think it was mental health, or what was your process in discovering that?
Well, I knew it was related to the fall because I never felt this way. And I felt very weird right after the fall. And in the first few days, let's say the 2 days after the fall, I felt so weird and a bit confused. But my symptoms weren't the worst. It was more like I was in a rush or something after the fall. And this lasted 2 days. And then after 2 days, I started to notice that everything was bothering me. So all sounds, all impressions, just I went to my work the day after the accident, and I knew that I couldn't remember things. I was so confused, and all the people, it's a really busy office, were bothering me. So I didn't know what was happening. I felt just so weird, and I thought, okay, I just need some rest and then I will be okay. So I remember I went to the office. I think it was on Wednesday, and I went home on Friday, and I told my boss, okay, I need one weekend of rest and I will be back Monday, because then I'm sure I'm feeling well. But on Monday I felt even worse, and I remembered, I called him, I need just one extra week to recover and then I will be okay. But yeah, the week I wasn't feeling better at the end of the week. So the week became like a month, and then it became like 6 months, and then a year. And that was the hardest thing, because I didn't know how long it would last. I didn't know what to tell my boss. I didn't know what to tell the people around me. And that was so confusing.
Yeah. And they just told you to rest?
Yeah, I went to my doctor the week after the accident, and he told me I had a whiplash. So I thought, okay, it's neck pain. Maybe I need to go to a physiotherapist or something. And that's the only thing he mentioned. But he told me first, okay, go home, rest. He gave me some medicine to relax a bit more. And that's it. And I remember I went to him like 5 times after the accident. And all the time he just said, okay, you need more rest. It can take a bit longer. And he sent me to a psychologist and gave me this note with anxiety disorder. So
oh no,
I felt so misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you realize it was a concussion?
Well, after, I think it was 2 years after the accident, I visited a doctor, and this doctor told me, what are your symptoms exactly? So I made this list of all symptoms I had, and he told me, okay, all these symptoms are not only from a whiplash, but from a concussion. And from that moment, a new world opened up, because I was, for 2 years, I was focused on this whiplash part, right? And Then after 2 years, I started Googling on concussion treatments instead of whiplash, because if you focus on whiplash, it's mostly about the neck and that's it. So yeah, after 2 years, I realized I had a concussion. So it took very long to realize this. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And the fact that he basically diagnosed you with anxiety, you're not the first person that I've talked to that's had a brain injury misdiagnosed as a psychological issue. Yeah. And it's so difficult because you can't see it on the outside. And so, you know, there's a big difference between something being neurological and psychological, because talk therapy is not going to help something if it's neurological.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I felt that it wasn't the right diagnosis. I felt it, but I did read a note when I came home. He gave me the referral to the psychologist, and I read the letter at home, and there I saw this note and I thought, oh, he didn't even listen to what I said. But I didn't go to the psychologist by reading that note. I thought I need some other help. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow. So when you found out that it was a concussion, what happened next?
I started to look for treatments for concussions. I tried neurofeedback therapy. I went to all the way from the Netherlands to America for cognitive FX treatments, and it really helped me. And I felt like I didn't improve in the first 2 years because I just didn't receive the right treatment. I didn't know what to do. And then after 2 years, something changed because I knew what my diagnosis were, and I knew what to focus on. So I started with some cognitive things, with exercising, and a lot of things changed after this 2 year mark. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and for our listeners, I just want you to take note of that the correct treatment makes a huge difference for brain injuries and for concussions. When you have the right treatment, it makes all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because you can do so many things. Like in my first 2 years, I tried things for my whiplash, like physiotherapist, stretching my neck and things like this. But I was treating only the neck pain and not the cognitive part, for example. So yeah, you really need to focus on the right things. And the hardest thing is that we are all different, right? So for some people, one thing would work, and for the other people, another thing would work. So that makes it really hard. But I believe when you try many things, there should be one thing that would work. And it's about never giving up. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are so many more treatments out now. I had my brain injury in 2007. So 10 years before you had yours. Yeah. And it's so crazy because I didn't even start to get like treatment for certain parts of it, like the dysautonomia and the vestibular, until 2018 and 2019, because only in the last, like, I want to say 5 years or so, are more practitioners aware of the concussion research. Yeah. And is there more treatments available that actually do help and actually work, and they're not just telling you to rest?
I can't even imagine, because then there weren't any support groups online as well, right? You without all the online information and everything, that would be really hard.
Yeah, well, that's why I made my page Hope After Hendry in 2012. So there weren't any other ones out there.
So you were the first.
Sort of, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
I just felt alone, and I just didn't want other people to feel that way. So, So let's go into that. How did having the online access to support groups help you to kind of shape your recovery?
Well, at first I, like you said, I felt very alone because most people in my, and like friends or like employees or family didn't have a concussion. So it felt like I was just the only person in the world dealing with those things. So finding these groups helped me to at first to know that I'm not alone in this, and that I'm not crazy having all these symptoms. And I find also just some tips that were really helping, because they went through exactly the same thing, and hearing about what helps them is is so helpful, because there were many things I didn't even think of myself, or I discovered new treatments because of them, because I just asked them, okay, what did you do for your concussion? And yeah, they are sharing their things. And just these two things, getting the right treatments, right knowledge and everything, and the support from them when you are, for example, having a bad day and no one around you will understand, but they will, because they are in the same situation. And that's really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's such so much power in community. And I love the online connection that we do have for brain injury. So when we were talking about planning this episode, the title or a theme that you came up with was called Rebuilding Your Life After a Concussion. Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about that. What does it mean to you to rebuild your life?
Well, it's not about forgetting what happened or trying to just ignore what's there, like your symptoms or how you feel, but more about seeing the positive side of a concussion as well, instead of focusing on what you will miss, what you can't do anymore, maybe the feeling of feeling hopeless, like, okay, I will never be able to heal again, or questions like this. I focused on this for so long, on this negative side, because that was all I just saw in my first year. And then I realized I just don't want to just feel like this all the time. And I was just like waiting before a miracle should happen, and before there was something that would heal me and that brings me back to the old me. But after feeling like this for years, you realize, okay, something needs to change, because you don't want to put your life on pause, and you don't want to wait all the time before you can start living your life again. Because what if you will never improve? I don't want to think about this question, but there could be an option, right? So I want to make the best out of it, and focusing on all the things I can do at this moment. And it really helped me sometimes just to tell myself, okay, I am just in this moment right now. I can do this, I can do that. And I just don't want to focus on my old life and what I could do, maybe because I could do more in my old, let's say, old life. I don't want to call it like that, but I could do more. But sometimes I just notice that I am even enjoying like the small things even more than before the accident. And a lot of things did change, because I'm not rushing through life anymore. Like I was before the accident, I was always like running from one friend to another friend, from work to my fitness, or I was always doing something. And I really had this fear of missing out on things, and I was just always busy. And right now I know how to slow down, and then that feels great too. So
but it took probably some time to get to the understanding that it slowing down could maybe feel good or be a good thing.
Yeah.
So what are some major changes or coping strategies that you've had to put in place after your concussion?
Well, I started with things like meditation and yoga. These were two things I never did before the accident, but now I love them and I do them almost on a daily basis. So that's really helping me. But I also changed just a lot about, for example, nutrition or exercise. I don't push myself to do all these things, but I try to enjoy it right now, and only when it makes me feel more like happy, instead of always this pushing and doing more and more and more. Now I'm just slowing down and enjoying it even more. And and the most important thing is that I changed this 40-hour work week into creating this community. And that's something that I always wanted, like doing something for myself and helping other people. And I never, before the accident, I never had any idea of how I could do that. But this journey resulted in something like this. And I didn't even plan it, but it just happened like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit about your community?
Yeah. So it's, I started this community in April last year, so 2021. And I already had this idea in my mind for a longer time because I knew there isn't enough knowledge out there, enough support. And that's something I just really missed in my journey. So I thought, okay, I want to create something that's helping people with a concussion or TBI, just to not feel alone and to know what to do to move forward. Because I went to so many doctors and they always sent me home or tried to prescribe some medicines that were doing more harm than good. So I just love to, I just started to connect with all these doctors or experts who were mostly on Instagram. And I just reached out to them, sending them a message. Okay, I have this in mind. I want to share more knowledge about concussion and what to do to move forward. Are you maybe interested in helping me with this? So I think I reached out to like 50 or 60 different experts and had a call with all of them. And we started to create classes, courses, and just put everything into this platform. And that's how I created this community. So the most important thing is just the knowledge and the support group, the community itself. So the two things in one place. I started this last year and now it's growing like every month. So we are now with, I think, 160 people in there. So I just love to see that it's helping them. And I hope it will help many others in the future.
Yeah, that's great. I just love your heart in doing that. You're so sweet. Like, you just like, I just can tell you just want to help people. And I really love that. I really love that. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. But I think the same as your situation. We know how it feels to be in this dark place, right? And you don't want to let anyone else feel like that. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, we don't want anyone to feel like they are alone or that there's no hope. You know, I just think it's so important for people to know that there is something you can do to help your recovery. You don't have to give up. You know, if certain doctors tell you one thing and they're like, there's nothing they can do, well, then find another, you know, find another place.
Yeah.
So you made the trip from the Netherlands to the US for treatment. So that's a big trip. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what that process was like and why you chose to do that?
So, yeah, I never heard of them before, but someone in a Dutch support group told about this treatment. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But at first, I did just read about it. And I thought, oh, another thing that's not helping at all. So because I read about so many treatments, and then I just put this article away. And I thought, okay, I don't know. I just felt a bit skeptical about it. And then this article starts coming back to me because on Google, I found it everywhere. And then in this group, I did read more reviews about this treatment. And I started to follow another group just only about this treatment. And I think I started following this for a few months. And then it made me just curious because the results were very good. And I didn't feel like I had another option to try because I already tried many things and most things weren't working. So I felt like, I think my intuition just told me like, okay, this could be it. And it was just in my mind for months. And I thought, okay, I need to try it because if I don't, it will always stay in my mind. Like, okay, what if I tried this treatment? So I decided to just book a free call with them. And a few weeks later, I had a Skype call with them and I asked them many questions and they could tell a lot of things. And I felt right away, okay, they know what they're talking about. And they could even say, I think your symptoms should be this, this, and this. And they were right that everything was correct. And I thought, okay, I told them, okay, I need to think about it for a few days because, of course, it's expensive. And flying all the way from Europe to America is just not something you do right away. So I called my parents afterwards and they told me, yeah, if you think this will help, I think you can try it and we will see then if it will help or not. So I sent them an email a few days after and told them, okay, I will want to schedule my treatment week. So I went there in, I think it was July 2019. And I had this 5-day treatment over there. So I went there for 2 weeks. I was for 2 weeks in America and the treatment was like 5 days. I was really excited that the weeks before I headed to America. Yeah. And it really helped me. So, I'm really excited about sharing about this treatment, but I also know it's personal because they can't do any guarantees. So we are all different. And I was in a group with 10 people and I think 8 people felt improvements and 2 people didn't. So I don't want to guarantee the results, but for me, I'm sharing my own experience. For me, it's really helped me. And I'm glad I went there.
Yeah, that's good. So what things improved after the treatment?
I think on day 4, I felt this bubble feeling in my head, like there is sparkling water in your head. And it's like my head was always feeling very heavy and like there was a lot of fatigue in my head. And then on day 4, it cleared up for a few hours. And I thought, oh, I never had this feeling after my accident. So that felt really great. That was the first thing I felt, first improvement I felt. And I noticed I felt very worse on Friday. That's why I remember the last treatment day. And I was so scary because I thought, oh, I'm back with where I was. And I lost all progress. But then on Saturday, I felt very good. And I went for a 3-hour hike. And I was just feeling great, like more energy. My sleep was better. I didn't have to nap anymore during the day because before the treatment, I always needed a nap after lunch. I just felt better. I was, I could focus a bit better, like on conversations, for example. Before the treatment, I always, I could concentrate maybe for 1 minute and then the conversation was just too much. And it was like, all the words were pressing me, but, I think these four things were the most important things that really helped. And, all the improvements continued after the treatment as well. So you have to do some exercises again at home, the interval training and the cognitive exercise. You keep continue doing them after the treatment. So yeah. It's not only the 5 days, but also the months after.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really similar to the treatment I did with Dr. Schmo at the Functional Neurology Center.
Oh.
I did a 5-day treatment there in 2019. And it helped me so much. It was life changing. And, you know, for me, I'd been living with these symptoms for over 11 years at that point.
Wow.
And so it's like, even no matter how far you're out from your brain injury, some of these new treatments for concussion, they're not just for people who just got concussions. Like your brain has the amazing, incredible ability to rewire in ways that we don't fully understand. The brain's so complicated and I think, and I hope the research looks different 10 years from now and they'll say, oh, back in 2022, you know, they didn't know this and now we can help concussions even better. And so I hope that it continues on this positive trend because the last 10 years has been incredible in the changes.
Right? Yeah. I think it gives a lot of hope to people who are already suffering with this for years. Because even in my group at the treatment, there was someone who was dealing with symptoms for like 30 years. And this person improved during that week. So
how many years did you say?
30.
30, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I believe we are all, because I get so many questions for people tell me, oh, I'm already dealing with this for years. For me, I just can't improve anymore. But what you just said, I believe we all can, no matter how many years we're dealing with all these things. Yeah.
So what encouragement would you give to a survivor who, you know, they're listening to this episode called Rebuilding Life. They've heard your story but they're still feeling discouraged about themselves. So what encouragement would you give to a survivor?
I think it's the most important thing, just to know that there is always something out there that could help. And I know many people are in this negative circle of, okay, I'm not getting better. I don't know what to do anymore. Feeling lost, like this negative spiral. And I've been in there this for like 2 years because, so I know how it feels, but I know now I'm out of that. I know it will always come something that will help you. Maybe a treatment, a person, just some improvements you didn't expect. So I just want to know everyone that if you feel like this in this negative spiral and you don't know what to do, there's always hope, and just never give up because, there is always something coming your way, and I believe it will be there at the right time, the right moment. So I see it also as a learning process because I learned so many things. Even in the most darkest moments, I think I learned the best lessons. And the positive things will come your way. Yeah.
What would you say to a family member whose loved one has had a concussion?
Try to be there for them and believe them when they say, okay, I am not feeling well or I'm experiencing this. Try to take as many tasks out of their hands and never give up. Support them that it will get better. And I think that's the most important, just support them and believe them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So this is called Hope Survives Podcast. So the last question I always ask is, what are your words of hope? What hope would you like to share to close out our conversation today?
What I already said, so the hope for the future, a better future, improvement of symptoms, and just have an open mindset, then the hope will come your way because hope is everything. And without the hope, you are nowhere, right? So believe there is hope, and if you don't see it right now, try to find ways like support groups, maybe try a new treatment, just something to move forward. And yeah, I believe the hope will come your way if you do that.
Wonderful. Oh, Sylvie, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. It was so wonderful to get to talk with you today.
Yes, thank you for inviting me. I loved it.
Thanks. So if people want to get in touch with you, they can follow at The Concussion Community on Instagram, and yes, your website's the same name?
Yes, theconcussioncommunity.com. Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. So check her out, get connected with her. She also has a podcast called The Concussion Community, and we're making plans for me to come on there eventually, probably next month or two. So definitely subscribe to her podcast and get connected with her also.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.